Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from Hebrews chapter 3. Today on Transfiguration Sunday, we also have in the back of our mind this appearance of Moses and Elijah on the mountain with Jesus, and of course, Jesus literally shines brighter than all of them, even though we would call Moses and Elijah pillars of God's ancient church, the people of Israel. And of course, today, as we consider this passage from Hebrews, we see that God has built us into a house, and Jesus shines brighter than all of our human pillars, too. So what was true for the ancient people of Israel is true for us at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, at the end of this week on Saturday, March 9th, our congregation is going to celebrate 152 years of ministry here in Hoyleton. 152 years, it's amazing, isn't it? I have to admit, when I flipped the calendar over to the month of March this week, I noticed this involuntary reaction. I started to get some anxiety building up inside me. I think maybe some of the 150th anniversary committee might feel that way too. March was a very hectic month 2 years ago in 2017. In fact, it was the beginning of a very hectic year. I had only been here for about 3 months at the time, and we were planning to pull off this big giant celebration for our ministry and really a whole year's worth of celebrations. And by God's grace and with a lot of help, we did make it. But there were times when maybe it wasn't as easy as it could have been. I was thinking this week about that year, and I was thinking about how grateful I am that I was able to participate in that and have so much of this congregation's history taught to me from a very early time here. It just took me a few months to learn what maybe it would take another pastor years to learn about the history of this church, just because we dealt with it so much in my first year here. And this week I was actually flipping through that history book that was produced during the anniversary year, and I was looking at all the different events that have taken place, all the different ways this place has changed since 1867, right? The church and the school that we see here now is the end result of so much hard work by so many people over so many years. And when you take a look at some of the timelines, some of the big milestones over the years, it seems like about every 20 to 25 years or so, there is like a major construction project here at Trinity, going all the way back to 1867. If you look at some of the pages of that history book again, what you'll see is there are multiple renovations of the sanctuary. There are at least three different parsonage houses. The school building has gone through amazing changes and additions and improvements, including the most recent one in 1998. And so many of you have been here long enough to see this place transform and change over the years too. It's a really sobering thought when you sit and you think and you realize that this ministry and the facilities, the building that makes this ministry possible here, all came about through really hard work. None of it just happened by itself, right? Nothing that you see around you just materialized out of thin air. Step by step, plans were made and implemented by faithful people, many of them who came many years before any of us, and certainly almost all of them were here before I came to be pastor here about 2 years ago. But all of it, of course, has ultimately been built by the Holy Spirit, leading us and guiding us along the way. So God is ultimately the one who gets the credit for building this house. Now, today being Transfiguration Sunday, I mentioned before, this is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and the gospel reading from Luke chapter 9 points us to this, probably this one last big epiphany, if you will, in a big series of epiphanies where Jesus is revealed to us to be the Son of God. We know exactly who Jesus is. So when you look at the transfiguration of Jesus, you see that it took place on this mountain with Peter and James and John, and Moses and Elijah are there to put icing on the cake. But this big moment where Jesus is shining dazzling white, this is the end result. This is the thing that leaves no question in anybody's mind who Jesus is. In fact, you have God the Father himself who appears in this story. His voice says, "This is my Son." That's it. There's no more proof that we need. And so from this point on, Jesus is now going to set his face toward Jerusalem. And he's going to show, now that he's proven to his disciples who he really is, he's going to show exactly what God is willing to do to sacrifice for his loved ones, for his creation. And that's why we, this week, are going to transition from Epiphany into Lent. We have Ash Wednesday later this week. We're going to take that journey toward Jerusalem with Jesus for these next 6 weeks. The epistle reading from Hebrews helps us to understand why. The epistle reading helps us to see why it is. What's the motivation for Jesus to be willing to do this amazing act for us, this act of love and sacrifice for us, something we certainly don't deserve, but something that Jesus gives to us anyway. And it does so by talking about us, talking about God's chosen people as a house. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. That's been a mystery to biblical scholars for years. And we don't really know all kinds of things that we'd like to know about the recipients of the book of Hebrews, but what we do know is this. This letter is different from most of the other letters of the New Testament because this letter was written to people who were Jewish, right? These were Jewish Christians that were receiving this letter. So that makes it a lot different because this means this letter was written to the people who knew the backstory. They knew the plot lines. They knew the characters. You contrast that with the letters that St. Paul wrote to all of these groups of Gentiles, right? People in places like Corinth and Philippi and Rome and all these other cities where they were just getting to see the end result. These people, some of them were just being introduced to the one true God for the very first time. It's kind of like me stepping into this congregation in Hoyleton 150 years after it had already been founded. You just see the end result. But the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians, they had the backstory. They had watched these events unfold one by one, step by step, over many, many years. And so because of that, because they had the Old Testament scriptures, they knew about the covenants that God had made with Noah and Abraham and Moses and David. They had watched these things unfold. They're like the ones who are standing there reading the history book, right? They see the turning points all along the way. In some ways, if you think about it, that very fact might have made it more difficult for them to understand how Jesus plays a role in their history. So this passage from Hebrews deals a lot with Moses. So let's think about Moses for a second. Moses was somebody that it didn't take very much for the Jews to understand why he was so important. Right? Moses is like the ultimate servant of God. Moses is the one who leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. Moses is the one who brings the Ten Commandments to the people and all other kinds of laws. Moses, as our Old Testament reading says, Moses is the one who actually got to speak with God face to face. If Israel is a house, Moses is one of the ones who laid the foundation to that house. And yet look at the way that the writer to the Hebrews talks, starting in verse 3. He says, "For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. So Moses may have been an awesome servant of God working to help build that house of Israel, but Moses is not God. Jesus is God. So Jesus is greater than Moses because the builder of all things is God. So this was the struggle for the Hebrew Christians, right? Trying to grasp the concept that somehow Jesus is more important than Moses, the great Moses. That was their struggle. What do you think our struggle might be? Who might be the Moses of our congregation here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton? When we think about all of the things that happen here in this ministry, all the things that take place day to day, week to week, who gets the credit for building it all? We might look maybe, 500 years ago and say, well, we should really give Martin Luther the credit, right? Because if there was no Luther, there would be no Lutherans and we wouldn't be here, right? So maybe it's Martin Luther who gets the credit for building the house. Or you could look 150 years ago, right? You could say, well, maybe we give the credit to those 20 families who came over from St. John's New Minden and started a congregation here in Hoyleton. They should get the credit for laying the foundation and building this house. You could look at the history of the 13 pastors that have served here. You could say any one of those men built this house. You could look at the principals that we've had, the other staff members, the teachers, all these people who have been through this place. You could say they built this house. You could look at any one of those eras, any one of those turning points. You could say, you know, Trinity was really in its prime when so-and-so was here, whoever so-and-so might be for you. You could do any one of those things. Or you could look at Jesus. You could focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rather than being hyper-focused on the past, on the history. No matter who has been here before, Jesus and Jesus alone will be here forever. Verse 6, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house. So that means that Christ is faithful over us, you and me, this congregation. Jesus built Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Jesus died for Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Jesus is still present and working through all of us here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Many have come and gone before us, and many were very faithful, but we're not like lost and alone because some of them aren't here with us anymore. Jesus is still working. Jesus is still caring. Jesus is still loving. Jesus is empowering all of us to continue to go out and reach this community. He's not sitting on the sidelines. Instead, he continues to build this church upon the foundation of salvation that he won for us on the cross. Lately, I know that several of us have been feeling a sense of loss because we've had to say goodbye to some of the faithful pillars of this community, maybe more than usual over this last year or so. I had this kind of conversation with several different people this past week at the funeral for Gus Unverfurt. You know, as things change, as people pass away, as the years go on and things get crazier and crazier in this world, we might wonder sometimes if those of us who are left have the strength to be able to continue to build upon this foundation that's been laid for us. But may we never forget that it's not up to us alone. When Jesus looks at us, he sees a church made up of people that he loved so much that he was willing to die for us. He sees a house that he built, and he's not going to give up on us. How do I know? Because I see the work that Jesus continues to do here day after day. The Word of God is still preached and taught here in all its purity. We continue to baptize souls right there in that baptismal font. In fact, last year, by God's grace, we had more baptisms than funerals. Thanks be to God. Jesus continues to feed us with his Holy Supper, and he's going to do that again this morning in just a few moments. So as Jesus continues to do his work and this congregation continues to go through changes, don't let those changes scare you so that you're not able to boast in your Christian hope and joy. Instead, rejoice that Jesus has built you into his house, a house whose foundation is the Rock of Ages. Built on the rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.